Open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 5. A missionary by the name of John Hess Yoder tells of discovering an illustration of the kingdom of God while serving in Laos. Before the colonialists imposed national boundaries, the kings of Laos and Vietnam reached an agreement on taxation on the border areas. Those who ate short grain rice, built their houses on stilts, and decorated them with Indian-style serpents were considered Laotians. On the other hand, those who ate long grain rice, built their houses on the ground, and decorated them with Chinese-style dragons were considered Vietnamese. The exact location of the person's home didn't matter. It was the kingdom that they belonged to, the kingdom whose cultural values that the person exhibited, that's what mattered. So it is with us. We live in the world, but as a part of God's kingdom, we're to live according to His kingdom standards and values. Which kingdom are you a part of this morning? Which kingdom are you a part of? Are you part of the world's kingdom or are you part of God's kingdom? We started this triad of messages looking at what it means to live as a disciple, a part of the kingdom. Again, simply put, it means to think like, act like, and become like Jesus. We looked last week at a passage set in the midst of Jesus preparing the disciples for what was to come. The challenge for us is to respond to the call of Christ to foster a local community of believers within the greater body of Christ that draws others to Christ. How we live matters. This morning, the message comes from part of the Sermon on the Mount, a message about kingdom living. We live in the world, but as a part of God's kingdom, we are to live according to His kingdom standards and values. So, let me ask the question. Is kingdom living about keeping a law, the law? Or is it about your heart being changed by Jesus to where you become the kind of person whose life naturally conforms to the law? Kingdom living. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 38 through 48. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Kingdom living. Kingdom living calls for responding to personal injury differently. Jesus deals with personal injury as he quotes Leviticus 24. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and that's what the law said. So that whatever happened to someone, whatever happened in a community, that it wasn't heaped on the person who did it more than what they did. So it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So whatever happens, the law said you were to do back. But kingdom living takes a larger view. That injury does not become your world. That injury does not become your world. That God is seen and you are seen as in His hand. And the injurer is more than the one who hurts, because his humanity, his limitations, his being under God are seen. I don't know what I did the morning that this hiker that I spoke to you of was in, but one of the two things that I would, the devotions was, the question I would ask them is what defines you? And that's what Jesus is getting at in a sense, is what defines you? Is it the injury? Is it what someone's done to you? Because if we let that happen, then we give that person more power than they deserve. And so he goes now through four very specific or types of kingdom responses. In verse 39, he says, turn the cheek. And he doesn't say any cheek. He says, if someone slaps you on the right hand, on the right cheek. Now, what that would mean is if I took a vote this morning, most of us are right-handed. It was bad enough to slap somebody on the cheek, but to do it backhandedly, you were insulting them as well as hurting them. And Jesus said, if someone does that to you, turn the other cheek. But the world says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Jesus says, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the left. The second one, he says, is give over your shirt, verse 40. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, man, they took my shirt. Now, they didn't have a closet full of clothes. You got to understand. They might have had two or three changes at the most. And we're supposed to give over? Jesus said, if they want to sue you for your shirt, give them not only your shirt, but also your coat. So conscientiously try to help them. Even legal adversaries in a spirit of love. In a spirit of love. Give over your shirt. Verse 3, he says, go with them farther than they're required. It had become common practice under the Roman rule that if a Roman official said, I want you to carry whatever I'm trying to carry, or I want you to carry this load that I'm trying to get down the road, that you were obligated under law to go with them a mile. Jesus said, don't only go with them 1 mile, go with them two. Twice as much? Do you not realize how big of an imposition that would be for my life? I've got things to do. I've got places to go. And Jesus said, go with them the second mile. The last one is verse 42. If someone asks of you to give something, give it. Give if asked. The request is all that is necessary for you to give. And these aren't new laws for living, but they're illustrations of the presumption of the kingdom living to return good for evil and resist only compelling reasons. If you were to go into my office and look at my computer, and if you knew anything about computers and pulled up the right screen to where it talked about the printers that it would use, it says that I'm connected to three or four computers, but there's only one that's the default. There's only one that if I just hit print, it prints on a certain printer. What default setting do you have in your life when it comes to handling others, to dealing with others? Particularly if they injure you in some way or insult you. How would you apply these teachings of Jesus? Will you be proactive or only reactive? Do you ever want to get even with someone? Reactive. But if you'll let go of the desire to get even, you become proactive. Let me tell you, I said to Jessup and then I said it to Jack, that I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because this morning we're talking about kingdom living because not a one of us talked to the other one of us about what we were going to deal with this morning. And so I've got to tell you this story. In 1984, December 20th, if a man by the name of Mickey Robinson, if I'd have seen him and I'd had a gun or a baseball bat or anything, I think I would have heard him. Let me just leave it at that. And I remember going through my mind, you always think about things when you're trying to go to sleep, and I would think about what had happened. Some of it I brought on myself, but he was the face of it. And I remember thinking about it, and finally someone said, you got to choose to forgive. And I thought, and then let your emotions catch up to your choices. And that's what Jesus is dealing with here, that we are to be proactive. We're to let go of all the hurts, all the things that people have done to us. If we're going to be kingdom members of the kingdom of God, we've got to live differently. And if we don't live differently, then maybe what we're saying is that we're really not in the kingdom of God. So think very practically again. When you drive, how do you respond to others that are less than maybe the best drivers in the world? Okay, let's go on, because what's the old saying? He's gone from preaching to meddling. Are you living in God's kingdom? Kingdom living calls for handling enemies differently. We are to handle people who may not have done anything to us, but you just do not like them. We're to handle them differently. You have heard it said, and Jesus quotes part of the law. You have heard it said, love your neighbor. That's what the law said, but then kind of gets added on that this familiar saying, and hate your enemy. Jesus goes past that to just outward actions and gets to our hearts. Oh, if he would just leave it alone, if he would just let us act a certain way and not worry about our hearts. But he does. He worries. He speaks to our hearts. He deals with our hearts. And he says that the kingdom law is to love your enemy and even pray for them. Love your enemy and pray for them. Love your enemy and pray that they would come to know Christ as their Savior. Love your enemy and pray that they would come to submit their heart and their life and their will to Christ. Kingdom living is when you take on the wholeness of God, even to the point of that praying for them. And Jesus says that in this is love developed, the wanting the best for others and letting go of anything that you think that you deserve to get back at someone about. And he says, if you love only those who love you, then you're no better than the tax collectors or the Gentiles. No better than the tax collectors or the Gentiles if you only love those who love you. We're to love even those. We're to want the best for even those who do us harm. Dale Carnegie said that when we hate our enemies, we are giving them power over us, power over our sleep, our appetites, our blood pressure, our health, and our happiness. In a recent Herb and Jamal comic strip, the two friends are in their restaurant that they run. One says to the other, I could go on and on about that rude customer. To which the other replies, yeah, but you know the old adage, if you have nothing good to say, keep it to yourself. The upset partner agrees, yeah. But in the last panel, the upset one finishes it by saying, or you can always tweet it, or text it, or whatever. I mean, if you don't understand, I don't understand tweeting either, so I'm not. But is that really handling enemies? or people that you're upset with differently? Do you have enemies? Or people that at least just rub you the wrong way? Most of us do. Most of us do have someone who won't be sorry to hear of our death. How do you handle that person? How do you handle that person? Are you out to get revenge, to get even? Or will spreading gossip satisfy you? Have you ever been in the mood for a good argument and you couldn't find anybody to go along with you? So what happened? Nothing would be my guess. If you don't have enemies this morning, and I hope you don't, do you at least have someone that you need to forgive? Is there anyone in your life that you need to just let go of wanting to get back at them, to get even with them? Kingdom living is not about keeping a law, the law. It is about your heart being changed by Jesus. Has He changed your heart? Has He changed your heart? Has He changed you? Does your life, your actions, your words, your attitudes display the kingdom of God's standards and values? How do you respond to personal injury? How do you handle the person doing the injuring? Are you a part of the kingdom of God? You become a part of the kingdom of God by submitting your will, your life, to the will of Christ. It's not about believing and raising your hand and being baptized and all those things that we think is. It's about your heart being changed, converted. It's about Christ coming into your life and taking out the heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh. It's about you becoming a new creature in Christ. Are you a part of God's kingdom?